now back to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joe George and Joel Blank today. You can find us on Twitter at Pac-Man Joel, at Joe George Radio. BMAC behind the glass on Twitter at Sacked by BMAC. And Joel, it's time. It is time for another edition of Who Said It? My first time doing it on this side of the glass.
Yes.
In the studio. Are you feeling good? You feeling confident?
I don't like BMAC talking crap about us on this thing. Last segment, you saying he was...
Hold on. I have to correct Joe a little bit. I did not say I was kicking your ass every week. I said I won the last one I did win.
We were on a
three. You did.
I didn't say I was kicking your ass every week. What Joe's probably referencing is his first couple weeks he also won. So yes. I think I mentioned there was a streak
going. We were on a three-game winning streak.
But only one of those was me.
I hope Twitch saw that little, childish mini, Mickey Mouse little... you just did when he was talking.
Is that a joke about his size?
Not as much as the video today on Twitch. I mean, Twitter was.
Yeah, I thought that was really inappropriate.
Say hello to my little friend.
I'm gonna go to HR.
Good luck.
I am the assistant to the regional manager.
Senior week.
I think I'm gonna officially change my title. That's what Jeremy keeps
to
saying.
The assistant.
Oh, by the way, manager? And again, get your ducks in a row so that you have all your ammunition. He hammers you all the time for not being here, and he's not here. You're in his chair. You had free reign to go at him today.
We're 2 hours and 5 minutes into the show yet.
Yeah, way to go, Joe. Shot. Why don't we talk about Frankie's Friday Fire?
Yeah, that's my bad.
Sheesh.
We also have tickets to give away at 2:30.
Oh, do we? Maybe by 4:30 they'll give them away.
No, we'll give them away at 2:30. We'll get our Frankies at the end of the show. We'll do it live.
Let's go. Let's get into this.
All right, BMAC.
All right, first one. You should have flew carnies up there in a hot air balloon. It got them to throw darts at it. Carnies will do anything for $20. A hot air balloon full of carnies and some darts? Way cheaper than a missile. This, of course, in reference to spy balloons.
Yeah, spy balloons, but who are carnies?
Yeah, I know.
Carnival workers.
I'm pretty confident I heard this.
Okay, good.
This is what I was worried about.
You can save your face.
I am the assistant to the regional manager, so I try to listen as much as possible.
I feel this is cheating.
Paul or BK?
Is John or Lance.
Oh, really?
Oh, I'm second guessing myself.
Wait a minute. BK, okay, here's the thing. You know how much I put into this and how much passion I have for this game. But
I think this is
news.
He's
trying to prove himself. He's trying to one up Branham. So you better, if I give this to you, you better be right.
Well, I didn't say I know which one it is, but I'm pretty confident it's news of the weird. I'm pretty confident that I heard John and Lance talking about this.
I could see the wheelhouse talking about this. I don't see Creighton talking about this. I could see Wheelhouse or News of the Weird.
We're probably the only show that hasn't talked about the Chinese spy balloons.
Yeah, Gallant would talk about this.
Yeah. So it doesn't really narrow the field.
Okay, so let's go bench. You said you were confident it was the bench.
Yeah, I think this is the toss-up.
Which Sons of Bench was it?
Ah, that's us.
Can I hear it one more time, please?
Is it allowed?
Yeah, sure.
Yes, it's allowed.
It's kind of make things up as we go on this. You should have flew carnies up there in a hot air balloon and got them to throw darts at it. Carnies will do anything for $20. A hot air balloon full of carnies and some darts? Way cheaper than a missile.
Who's more likely to use the term carnies, Lance or John? Because I don't know that I see Granato saying it.
All right, let's go Lance.
Let's go Lance.
Lance Airlines.
You should have flew carnies up there in a hot air balloon.
Saved your ass.
And got them to throw darts.
Saved your ass.
Carnies will do anything
okay,
for
so you still got you got some splaining to do to kind of prove yourself, but at least we got one. Yeah, we didn't set a bar today. We set it low because of Joe.
Look, no, Victor.
I don't think you officially set one.
Right, because we set it low because of Joe.
Is that another height joke?
Yeah, height and, yeah.
Winning is everything. So we got to at least
get 3 out of 5.
Well, we got one.
Great.
God, here you go. Again, celebrating before you even play a game in the major league.
You said, what's the bar? I said, winning is everything.
Right, but you keep tooting your horn and you haven't done anything yet. Let's go to two.
All right, number 2. Toots. I'm not even kidding. I would vote for him for president. I want world leaders like some fat, pudgy world leader who's in their 60s to crap themselves. His name is The Rock. Can we just acknowledge how awesome that is?
Do you know this, or are you completely out of your element?
No,
perplexed?
But I do know that I got credentials to the Houston Roughnecks for Paul Gallant and Jake Asman.
I know Jake and Paul both went because they said Clarence said Paul was wearing very uncomfortable shoes, but looked very presentable. And Jake was like running around the sidelines waving a towel.
That seems very on brand for both of them.
Okay. So is it between those two, you think? Or, I mean, everybody saw the Roughnecks and saw The Rock was here.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't think this should last for six segments, so she probably start to narrow this down.
I'm going to say Paul. What did you say?
I mean, we figured out the two guys that were at the game. I don't think Jake's more.
I think Paul was
quarter. Okay, we'll go with Paul.
The pudginess, the pudgy comment.
We'll go with Paul. Wouldn't he just call him fat?
Probably. Paul, final answer.
I'm not even kidding. I would vote for him for president. I want world leaders.
Joe's
like
a cheater.
Fat like he's pudgy world me. Leader.
Who's like
I made the choice.
To crap themselves.
His name is
this
The Rock.
Is the second time I had to make the choice of who it was.
I said Paul first.
We started there. Okay, so there we go.
All right, number three.
We're like the Lakers. We keep winning, but we fight constantly behind
the scenes. This is literally Kobe and Shaq.
No,
right
you're
now.
Someone else. Joe's cheating. He's
I'm not
all
cheating.
These
I'm not before. Cheating. You know that. Go ahead.
All right, number three. Do I think I could cowboy? Yes, I could cowboy. How long would it take? At least 4 months. And I think I'd be able to rope the head part. I don't think I'd be able to do the, what do they say, the foot, the hoof? They call it the hoof? I don't know if I could do the tail end or the back legs. Could I learn to do it? Yeah. Would I be good? No. I'd be in the lower half of cowboys.
So now here, Joe George, how likely is BMAC to regurgitate someone? Because this has been Paul's thing for a week now. Leading into rodeo, yeah, wearing the hat every day,
yeah.
Talking about the rodeo, talking about the cook-off, talking about how he's going to become an honorary cowboy. People have been calling in with suggestions to starch his jeans and do all the things that
I
a real cowboy
they
does.
I see why this game.
I don't lose very often, and
there's no
BMAC
way.
Knows, because I don't like... I have a bad weekend when I lose, so I take this very seriously.
There's no way that Paul said this.
Do you realize that he has been a guy that has pulled the wool over us and used the guy, the same guy multiple times?
I but there's no way BK Paul four times in one
that's
said it.
Great.
You shut your mouth.
There's no way
you're
Paul
on this
said
side
this.
Now.
Because Paul's too obvious because of the cowboy hat. This is a misdirect.
BK? Or Cody? No, Cody's from here.
Yeah, I don't think Cody would be also...
BK's kind of from here, isn't
yeah,
he?
I would rule out...
Creighton?
I would rule out Creighton.
Creighton's
Paul.
A New Yorker.
But see, I feel like someone that says they think they could rodeo would be from here.
Okay. So now you're talking
like,
about...
I think I kind of like BK.
That's what I said first.
I'm saying I agree with you, Joel.
We'll go BK.
Do I think I could cowboy? Yes.
Lance.
I could cowboy. How long would it take? At least 4 months.
So he regurgitated.
And I think I would be able to rope the head part. I don't think I'd be able to do it.
So he went Lance.
Interesting.
So we're 2 out of 3?
2 out of 3. We need one more for victory. All right, number 4.
All right, this is a short one. No laws during Mardi Gras. Those are the rules.
No y'alls.
No laws.
No
LA,
laws?
Yeah,
no
L-A-W-S. Laws. No laws during Mardi Gras. Those are the rules.
I'm going to say BK or Jake.
Why would Jake say
or Paul. One of those three.
I could see Cody saying that.
This is where I struggle because, like, I don't know Cody that well. I don't view Cody as someone that, like, goes to Mardi Gras.
This is any kind of competition is why you struggle. Let's get that straight.
That's not fair.
No laws during Mardi Gras.
Yeah, I think it's BK or Jake.
You want to try and call one right?
Jake.
I would go the opposite. For the record, I would go the
other way. No. You can convince
me. For the record,
me.
I would go the other way.
This is garbage. Jake.
No laws during Mardi Gras.
Okay.
Those are the rules.
For the record,
I
went with the other guy.
As soon as he
for the record... I would
said,
have had the 3 wins already.
I said, I did not say I'm
boy,
the final
boy, there's pressure
guy.
On you now, tough guy setting the bar high.
Dude, you just...
I said who I would pick, and I was right.
You guys are having a competition to throw each other under the bus first.
He's a bad teammate.
Because I win?
Because you have the right answer, and you're just not being convincing enough to tell me that you think I'm wrong.
Time out, BK.
BMAC. That's
BMAC.
Like the fifth time
today.
Like
the third time. BMAC, time out. Here's the deal. Before you played who it was, he said what he said Jake the first time, and I said BK.
I said Jake or BK right away.
And then you're like, maybe we should talk about this. I said, for the record, I want the record to show I'm saying BK.
Right.
Left it back in his lap again where he could have been a good teammate and gone if he really trusted me.
You passed him the ball with an open shot and he missed.
Yeah.
This is on you, Joe George.
Okay.
Curious George, you better pull this one out. All right. And not out of your bunion.
So you're just gonna bail again and not help?
I've been helping and you're not listening.
Alright, number five.
Alright, number five, last one. You know, the only thing in sports, in all of sports, that should have an asterisk next to it is the Dodgers' phony 60-game season title. That should have an asterisk next to it. Didn't even play half a season. Totally horse bleep championship.
Gut feeling right off the top is John Granato.
Yeah, this is a hard one.
Just because of the way it sounded.
Yeah.
I could see Granato saying this. Creighton's a diehard baseball guy. He could say this.
I was thinking Baseball Paul would be an option.
Is there Baseball Paul?
That's what he says.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He also says he's the most interactive show in the city of Houston, and then he doesn't listen to us. That's fine. So my gut feeling says Johnny G.
John Granato, final answer.
Already?
Are you just jumping the gun there? Is this official?
Well, I don't know. I'm not going to be Joe George. Let me think about this for a second.
I don't want anyone.
Joe wouldn't listen to me. He's going with it anyway.
He keeps saying that I'm not listening to him. I'm listening to you.
I mean, B-Mac, has he so?
Oh my God!
I keep doing it. Has he proven himself at all in this game yet?
He did get the first one.
No. I did. I made the final call.
But he right didn't away, want. He did right away identify it as the bench. But I will say, Joe, I think also heard this the first clip.
Yeah, I did hear that first one. Yeah.
Who's the bitch?
The bench.
Oh, the bench. one more time.
What'd you think I said?
The bitch. Wait, who's the bitch? We call it a bitch. Okay, can I hear this?
Sure. You know, the only thing in sports, in all of sports, that should have an asterisk next to it is the Dodgers' phony 60-game season title. That should have an asterisk next to it. Didn't even play half a season. Totally horse bleep championship.
Two guys it could be. It could be Johnny G. It could be Patrick Crate.
I think it's Paul.
Joe has been eliminated from the competition.
Okay, let's do what we did the last one. I would like to go on the record that it's Paul Gallant.
Okay, now you're done. Stop talking.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Okay? So Joel's making the pick.
I'm going to make the pick. I'm going to say... They didn't actually try and cuss. They bleeped it themselves.
No, the person said bleep. The person said horse bleep. That's not me bleeping it.
I'm gonna say Pat.
You know, the only thing in sports that should have an asterisk next to it is the Dodgers' phony 60-game season title.
No, he doesn't.
That should have an asterisk next to it.
All right, well, that's a victory for who said it. Somehow this turned into a competition
between... I think Joel's going to claim the victory for himself.
Yeah, this is garbage. He's not a team player. Joel Blank has left the studio. He's being so egotistical. He had to leave to celebrate, giving me no credit whatsoever. Coming up next, thank you, B-Mac. You did a great job, as always. I really don't want to do this game anymore because now I'm just annoyed by it. But I want you to know, I'm going to screw them next week.
You really should follow my leadership here and go 4 out of 5 one day.
Now that Joel's gone and has just left me in the studio by myself, I'm going to declare they are going to go at best 1 for 5 next week.
Okay, I like that. Setting the bar high for yourself.
I am going to destroy them. I am going to make them put rules into place. I'm going to cheat next week and crush them. It's the Killer Bees here on ESPN. 97.5, 92.5. Maybe Pac-Man Joel comes back. We'll find out next.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Joel Blank is just being a terrible teammate right now. He's celebrating his victory of Who Said It. He's giving me no credit for the help.
Should I? Listeners could tell you.
I'm going to crush you next week.
What did you do?
I'm going to crush you next week.
Oh, now you're going to have a vendetta. Well, Brandon will be back, and then I can just blame him.
It doesn't matter. I'm going to just...
B-Mac, correct me if I'm wrong. When you win the championship...
I'm going to go full 2017 Astros on this.
You have a parade.
I'm going to cheat. I'm going to break the rules.
I took my parade and my victory lap.
He literally took a parade around the
studio. I literally took one lap around the station.
Yeah, he ran to the toilet as they said.
High-fived Esme.
Great.
No.
Yeah,
came back and you were still.
You went over to the Sports Map studio and high five people.
That's
in
just
there?
You're just no credit.
I
helped.
You're
he did help with the first two questions.
What was the guy that they got from Detroit that did nothing last year but got a ring for the Astros? Jeremy's got a nickname for him. He was like a utility infielder early in the year.
Oh, Nico Goodrum.
Goodrum, and he calls him Badrum?
Yes, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, way to go, Nico Goodrum.
You know, I think he's still on the minor league team on just a very random note.
I don't know that he is or not, but Joe did the Nico Goodrum. He did nothing but got a ring.
That's not true. All right, let's talk about other things.
This was you coming into the bullpen talking about, I mean, I listened to every show.
Hey, speaking of the bullpen, every Saturday from 12 to 2, we have a new show on the weekends called The Bullpen. Myself,
is this in my rundown?
No, myself and Andrew Carlson are hosting The Bullpen on Saturdays from 12 to 2. This weekend is actually going to be myself and Sean Mapes. Starting March 5th from 10 to 12, we'll have The Bullpen on Sundays as well.
Oh.
That will be Sean, RJ, and BMAC. So check that out. Also, we are officially your home for the Houston Dynamo again. That starts this Saturday versus FC Cincinnati.
What's your title again?
Assistant to the regional manager.
Yeah, well, thanks for that, assistant to the regional manager.
I know I was told to plug him at some point.
You're the arm?
I plugged him.
Joe's the arm no one needs, but thank you for those promos.
That's not true.
You know, you can take the day off of work and play a fun round of golf with your favorite sports station at ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We call it the occasional invitational because every now and then it just pops up. It's presented by SiteJab.com, benefiting kids' meals. This year's tournament's going to take place Wednesday, March the 8th, 10:30 a.m. at, of course, Wildcat Golf Club. Each golfer receiving beverages from Carback Brewing Company, lunch, dinner, 18 holes of golf, and a quick award ceremony unless Granado's drunk. Then it could linger on for a while, and he could offend some people. But that's going to happen immediately after the tournament. Register now because spots are going fast. ESPN975.com. Also want to remind you guys it's a Frankie's Friday Fire. Joe is not eligible to win for being just so hot takey that he couldn't get anything right during
garbage.
Who said it. Joe, by the way, it's a Friday's Frankie Fryer, Frankie's Friday Fire, which means you could win, not you, but if you let people know throughout the entire show that they all would have been eligible to win $50 at Frankie's Italian Kitchen. But still, the selection has not been made. You have a chance. Twitchers, texters, callers.
Fact. And for those asking, Moneyline will return during football season with Josh and Jerry. So for people that
love
are confused.
Josh. Josh is great.
All right. So yesterday I was scrolling the Twitter spheres. And I saw an article from our friends at sportsmap.com, written by Ken Hoffman. And apparently this week, Tony Kornheiser said, quote, "I don't think he, Adam Silver, wants him in a place like Houston where the owner doesn't seem to know what he's doing," talking about Victor Wembanyama. And basically, Tony Kornheiser is accusing the NBA of already rigging the lottery to make sure that Tillman Fertitta and the Rockets do not get Victor. Because he, quote, Tillman does not, quote, know what he's doing. What do you think about that, Joel? I mean, we know they rigged the lottery, so.
You know, I was having a conversation with Barry Warner this morning, and please recover quickly. Barry's got some health issues going on, so it was good to catch up with him. We were talking about it, and someone asked me in the gym the other day who was a better owner for the Rockets. And I don't know. I think better owner and then whether you say like or disliked, I don't know that everybody loved less, but they, from a Houston perspective, they loved him because his focus was always doing whatever it took to win.
Sure.
Tillman seems more like a disengaged owner, especially since they aren't battling the Warriors for the Western Conference anymore.
What are you talking about? Pray for Victor.
I don't think that anybody hated Daryl until he and Tillman got sideways after the China comments, and then he worked out a deal. Daryl actually worked him and played him like a fiddle, and got a $12 million going away check before 2 weeks later he collected a bigger salary for more years from the Sixers.
Mm.
But then to hire Rafael Stone, who, I hate to break it to you people, whether you like him or not, but he's not the most liked and loved guy across the league. But I don't think even that would be enough to say that the league would have it out for or against the Rockets. I could see it against Robert Sarver until he sold the Suns. I could see it against some of the ownership that has come out and been very, very hypercritical of the league. But I don't think that Tillman, that guys around the league or the league itself hates Tillman.
No, I don't think so either. And like, I have an issue with what Tony Kornheiser said.
Okay.
He said that Tillman Fertitta doesn't know what he's doing. How many good owners do you think there are in sports?
I mean, this is a conversation that goes back to what Sean Payton was saying, which he relayed through
Colin Cowherd.
Would you call the Loomis? Who are the Saints ownership group? The Loomis family?
Mickey Loomis was the GM. It's the Benson family.
Would you call the Saints ownership good?
They're okay.
So it's interesting because, like, I would not call an organization that trades seven, that lets their coach trade seven draft picks for Ricky Williams a good organization.
That was a long time ago.
Exactly. But I would not let an organization like the Cincinnati Bengals be called a good organization. But when you get Drew Brees, when you get Sean Payton, when you get Joe Burrow, you magically become a good owner. I just think that this idea that, like, Tillman Fertitta is this awful owner compared to everyone else, I think it's a joke.
Yeah, I don't think it's very misguided and misdirected if you're going to say that Tillman Fertitta is not a good owner and that he's disliked. I don't think that he's done anything yet aside from hiring.
Sure.
And that's to totally his credit, fair. To his credit, too, because he paid so much for Daryl Morey, mm-hmm. Jeremy and I have this argument all the time going back and forth because I'm adamant in saying, I don't care how rich you are, you don't like double dipping on salaries. You don't like firing a GM and giving up $12 million or whatever he gave up to get out of Daryl's contract and then paying the next general manager $6 or $7 a year as well.
But okay, so
he got Stone on the cheap, first time GM, probably got him for $1 million or so.
But like, let's say the Rockets, let's go fantasy land here. The Rockets get Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
And let's say they win a championship because of him.
Okay.
Does that make Tillman Fertitta a good owner?
In a lot of people's eyes in Houston, it does.
But how? He's run this franchise basically into the ground the last 3 years. A superstar player.
Did he do that? Are you saying because he okayed the trades that sent all the big names out of town?
Because
I don't know that he did that personally. Harden basically was the guy that orchestrated a bunch of this.
No, totally agree. And that's where it's like, you can't call him a good owner. You can't call him a bad owner. But just
if he wins the title, everybody thinks he's a good owner in Houston.
Exactly. Is Cal McNair, let's say Bryce Young's a superstar and wins a Super Bowl for the Texans.
You got to get him first.
Is anyone going to call Cal McNair a good owner? Yes. Why? Because he won a Super Bowl. But if you have eyeballs, you know that he's one of the worst owners in the league.
His wife will get credit. He'll get credit for, you know, pressing the reset button this offseason and then continuing to stick with it.
Yeah, I just have an issue with, like, this idea that, like, there's
it's
all
easy
these
to
good
say the
owners
bad owners, right? Because we mentioned Sarver until he sold the Suns, and then you mentioned Daniel Snyder in Washington.
Typically, they're bad.
Are we missing any more really bad ones? The guy in Miami is going to catch a lot of heat because of the illegal meetings, trying to get Brady, trying to get a quarterback, trying to get a coach. Then the Brian Flores lawsuit shed a light on a lot of other things. But I don't know that we have a lot of that stick out as the old school blue haired, just completely vile.
And I'm not saying that there's a bunch of great owners either, but I just think that, like, this idea that people say there's good owners and bad ownership, but all you have to do is get one thing right, typically. You know, if Cal McNair got D'Amico right, then he's going to look like a good owner. But we've seen what's happened
in
the last 5 years. Sure. And it's the same thing with the Rockets. Like, we've seen what's happened with the Rockets since Tillman took over. And, you know, if he gets Victor Wembanyama, then it can change everything. And Les Alexander's a great point, too. Correct me if I'm wrong. He bought the team the summer or, like, the winter before they won their first championship.
Yeah, that's true.
And, like, a lot of people, like, may call Les Alexander a great owner because he has two championships. Well, he didn't hire the people that built that team. He didn't hire the GM that drafted Olajuwon. Everything was here just in place. Mm-hmm. And then Michael retired, and that helped you. I don't think that's the only reason why the Rockets won.
You better not say that. Yeah.
No, it's not the only reason.
It's not a good look for you.
The only thing I wish, though, I wish we could have got. It's like the one what if in sports.
Sure.
I wish
we
could have got.
There's plenty, but that would have been one. But like,
I just don't think you can
make that. The Blazers in Tampa, like the Glazers for a long time
awful
were
franchise.
Also considered to be awful and cheap and everything else. But then, like you said, Dungy set the table, Gruden picked it up and delivered dinner, and they won a Super Bowl.
And then they're awful again. See, I actually think you can say they're an awful ownership group because they were so bad before Dungy and Gruden, and then they were bad again until Tom.
Because a lot of times, too, the owner gets the bad rap for the city and the marketplace that doesn't allow you to be sometimes the kind of owner you want to be and spend all that money because you're trying to make a profit. And I think that's the misconception fans have, is you're just trying to win a title every year. Mm-hmm. The owners are just trying to win the bottom line, the game of the bottom line.
I do not think that the NBA is going to force the lottery
well, there's the whole,
because they don't like
teams. Do you remember now in the Ewing lottery,
Yeah, they went away
from the envelopes because they said, yeah, the Knicks envelope felt and was chilled so that Stern knew which one to pick.
I mean, you know, the Cavaliers, definitely that lottery was fixed to get LeBron. I think the Bulls lottery to get Derrick Rose was fixed.
Oh boy, and Cleveland is considered to be a bad owner because he went to war with LeBron and the letter and all the other things after
that
LeBron.
Might be fair. Yeah, all right, we do it every day. We make mock drafts great again. That's next here. What's wrong on ESPN 97.5?
How many mocks are coming out before this thing?
A billion. ESPN 97.5, 92.5.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joel Blank's least favorite segment of the show when we make mock drafts great again.
How are we going to do this?
Was that Jeremy's? Was that good enough, like, Jeremy impression for you?
Like Blankers doesn't like now that we're going to do another make mock drafts great again.
Yeah.
So let's make mock drafts great again right now, Go Cougs.
We are. Go
and
Cougs.
We're going to talk about this right now, Go Cougs.
Is it this? What is the Go Cougs
this
thing?
Third finger and the thumb.
I'm not coordinated. I'm going to get crushed.
You did a hook 'em horns and asked that if that was Go Cougs.
I love you. That's what this one is.
Blinkers doesn't want to do this. Last night when I was sitting in front of my computer enjoying a gentle bend, I was looking at the 64th mock draft this week.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Yeah, I'm going to get crushed on Twitch. I might just turn the stream off.
It's awesome.
So bad. We will give away the tickets to the Houston Fishing Show at the end of the segment here, but we're going to go Yahoo Sports here. Charles McDonald, he has the Bears taking Jalen Carter with the first pick, which I think is actually going to be...
So they don't trade him anywhere? Or did he do any trades? So you can just... they're just going to stand
yes,
pat?
He has... no, he does not have trades. It's so hard. There's already been so many trades of like teams having different picks on the own. No, this looks like a no trade mock draft, which is normal. Like Daniel Jeremiah's last one, he said on his podcast that like trades are a waste of time right now, so he's not really doing them. So he has Jalen Carter going one, and then he has bold prediction.
CJ Stroud,
first quarterback off the board to the Houston Texans.
So that's interesting to me because of the fact that I would think if you have to choose from both of them, that I think that they would feel forced to go with Bryce Young.
You know, it's interesting because I know, you know, Jeremy has been, and yourself have been, you know, Cal McNair is going to force Nick Cassero to take Bryce Young.
I feel that they will consider the public pressure if Bryce Young is there at two and they don't take him.
It's just so interesting because I really thought the public was going to be more anti-Bryce Young than they were because of his size. I'm actually surprised that there's the amount of support for this pick as there is.
I think it's just because the more we cover these mocks and we hear from people that are constantly scouring every bit of tape and watching everything that these guys do, they're saying that, and I heard Lance say it again this morning, that the only possible knock on Bryce Young is his size, but he does everything else and brings everything else to the table. And he said, look, I could nitpick and talk about his deep ball, but overall, there's nothing to nitpick Bryce Young, as opposed to, like I keep saying, all the question marks of everybody at the top of this draft from a quarterback position. There's a ton more in terms of intangibles, mental, internal clock, all the different things, the running abilities, the decision-making of Levis, of C.J. Stroud, of the other guy. We know how raw Richardson is. Mm-hmm. Hooker's coming off an injury. So really the only thing that they nitpick Bryce Young on is size.
Yeah.
I get it. If it's between the two of them and they're both there, even if Cassero is a total, hey, I need the measurables in a quarterback guy, I think Cal and the organization would overrule that and say, for the fan base and for everything that they've done their research on, the right pick for the franchise is Bryce Young.
You know, it's interesting because I wonder if that narrative will change at all next week when he weighs in and when people see the Tom Brady-esque photo. Like when they see him there.
He was Joey.
Him, you know, him, Bryce Young and CJ Stroud have been together all the time. They must be training together. They're being photographed.
They're courtside at Utah.
Exactly.
At a jazz game.
They're all over the place together right now. And it's interesting when you see CJ standing, you know, next to Bryce Young and how short he is. If Cal McNair is going to direct Nick Cassero who to draft, then if I was Nick Cassero, I would literally quit my job. because your job is on the line and you should be making this decision. And I get why, like, there's this idea of good faith, but I'm telling you, I think the people who are listening right now, who are on the Twitch texting us, they might have that you guys have a different perspective than the larger fan base. You know, there are 70,000 seats or whatever it is at NRG. There was all those people on the waiting list. Most of them will be excited that the Texans draft a quarterback with the number two pick and they have a new franchise guy going into next season. They don't know who Bryce Young or CJ Stroud is. So, like, I think you can still take CJ Stroud and get your fan base excited. And frankly, this is going to be like the Rockets draft all over again. We spent all this time. We spent months and months and months. Jabari Smith is going to go number one. Paolo Banchero
is
going to be a rock.
Because you were the flagship.
I was at the flagship. Paolo Banchero.
They didn't select anybody, Joe. Both those picks were made for them by who was left.
But, yes, exactly. But everyone just assumed, because the mock drafts were telling them, that Jabari Smith was going number one, Chet was going two, Banchero was going three. And we spent months, everyone did, talking about the fit in Houston. What's he going to be like? How high is his ceiling versus the other two guys? And then everyone, the minute the pick happened, everyone likes Jabari Smith. Nobody watched Auburn last year. Nobody knew if he was going to be a good player. For the most part, there are some exceptions, but for the most part, and the fan base specifically, and I think it's the same thing here. If the Texans select CJ Stroud at number two, we are going to be on the air that night. We'll just say it now, at some bar or location from 7 to 11 the whole night. If people, when CJ Stroud is selected at number two by the Texans, if that happens, a large portion of the fan base is still going to be excited because we're going to tell them.
Ooh, I disagree.
I really do.
Especially if Bryce Young is still there, because the average football fan has been force-fed enough because of Alabama and their popularity and competing for a national championship and all the things that go with it. And then since then, these 97 mock drafts a week and everybody pumping them up as the best quarterback prospect in this draft. I disagree with that, because I think the number's going to be flipped. I think 70% of the fan base is going to be pissed off that if you had the choice between Bryce Young and CJ Stroud and they take CJ Stroud, I think the majority of the common average Texans fans are going to be upset.
But see, I think what's going to change is that if that's going to happen, you're going to see a shift in this segment. In these mock drafts that we're going to do, CJ Stroud is going to be the popular pick. And if every single, look, I use this NFL mock draft database website. It pulls every mock draft from anything relatively credible, and you can see it there. If the popular name becomes CJ Stroud, I think most people are going to be okay with it. I really do.
I don't think that there's enough cachet. I think there's been enough hype train coming in to dethrone Bryce Young as the people's champ. 100%. Bryce Young is the people's champ in this entire draft if you're a Texans fan.
Because most people don't watch college football. Like, there's too many people in the city, they're going on the radio and going on television, that have that literally admit they don't watch college football, and then they talk about why you should take Bryce Young.
Boy, you're lucky I'm not saying more.
And like, I just, right, to me, it's if everyone starts to tell you that CJ Stroud is the right pick, then I think at some point we're going to. Other notes here. Will Levis goes to the Raiders at 7. The third quarterback taken off, I skipped him, Anthony Richardson to the Detroit Lions. That guy is up and down these mocks.
He is.
Like,
so Levis
crazy
is going really late. Lance basically put him on a tier below. He put him on the third tier of quarterbacks, put him late in the first round.
I think we're going to see. I think one of those guys is going to fall.
So we got to do this exercise at the end. The 12th pick was?
The 12th pick was Jaxon Smith-Njigba, the wide receiver from Ohio State. Right. Bijan Robinson goes 30. We'll do our exercise on the other side, because we got to go to break. But before we do that, we do have a pair of tickets and Frankie's Fire. We'll get that out at the end of the next segment.
Yeah, but you're giving away. You're being the good guy now. You're trying to redeem yourself by giving away something.
I said I was going to do it at the end of the segment.
Don't I have a read here too?
Okay. All right. Frankie's Fire gift card.
Friday Fire.
Friday Fire. You're throwing. It should be on the right.
Triple F, baby.
All right. First things first. We got a pair of tickets to the Houston Fishing Show. It's back. And we'll be hosting the 48th annual event, March 1st to the 5th. Everything for the fishermen, all the new rods, reels, and lures, factory reps, guides from Alaska to South America, and a kids clinic on Saturday and Sunday with giveaways. If you love to fish or just wanted to learn about fishing, don't miss the 48th, I hate you, annual fishing show. Check out HoustonFishingShow.com for more information. We got a pair of tickets. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776.
It's what was ESPN. The number?
713-780-ESPN.
O is the letter, zero is a number. 780-3776.
Okay.
Informed opinions are always presented here. You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
All right, we will give you a winner for Frankie's Friday Fire at the end of the segment.
You will?
Hell yeah, we will, because we have to.
Well, you're not a winner in Who Said It, so maybe you should redeem yourself.
We won together.
I carried.
Okay.
I Patrick Mahomes.
So the Texans in this mock draft from Yahoo Sports select Jaxon Smith-Njigba with the 12th pick. Now, we've been playing the game where we took the next three picks.
After the 12th pick.
After the 12th pick, and you choose which one of the four. So your next selections are this. The New York Jets select Peter Skoronski, the tackle. He's a guard for Northwestern. Jordan Addison, the wide receiver from USC, goes to the Patriots. And then Quentin Johnston, the wide receiver from TCU, goes to the Packers. So your choices are
Quentin Johnston, Peter Skoronski,
Jordan Addison, or Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
From what I've heard the most, and again, I said, as long as we know what we know, which is they went quarterback. I don't know that they went to the right quarterback, but they went quarterback at two. I believe that that number 12 pick has to be another offensive weapon to give kind of what you were saying earlier in the show.
Sure.
You just got to give him every chance to succeed. If that's the case, then it's going to be one of the receivers. I think Addison's the guy that I've heard the most about that could be a potential wide receiver one down the line. So I would say that I would say Jordan Addison would be the guy that would be the pick at 12. Now, the kid from Ohio State, say his name for me, please.
Jaxon Smith-Njigba.
Would be a guy that, again, he sat out last year, but there was a
well,
guy.
He's hurt, but.
But there's a guy that a lot of people think also have the potential to be a wide receiver one. So it'd be between those two guys. I like the size of Addison, so I'll say Addison.
You know, it's interesting. I've been saying Addison the last, 3 days. I think this is the one scenario where I think I changed my answer for one of the wide receivers.
Really?
I think this is where I go with JSN because they have that chemistry. I guess it depends on how you grade them out, right? If you grade out Addison and JSN as basically almost the same guy as like a 1A, 1B wide receiver, it's funny. It's almost like in fantasy football when you try to stack a quarterback and a wide receiver on your team.
Yep.
I don't hate the idea of going double Ohio State if C.J. Stroud
familiarity
were your
and
pick,
comfort level.
Yeah, if C.J. Stroud were your pick at two, I think JSN is my answer at 12 if you're going to go wide receiver of these selections.
B-Mac, what do you got?
Would you go Jaxon Smith-Njigba, Peter Skoronski, Jordan Addison, or Quentin Johnston at 12th pick if at two you drafted C.J. Stroud?
It'd either be Jaxon or Jordan Addison. Those are my two favorites. I mean, the concern there, at least with Jaxon, is that it seems that people believe he's going to be a slot receiver. And if John Metchie turns in what you hope he is, I know that's a really big if.
Agreed.
But now you got two slot receivers, and how does that fit into your offense? But I think at this point, with as little talent as the Texans have at wide receiver,
but that's
they
why
just got to take whoever it is and worry about the fit later. Because right now, if you trade Brandon Cooks, who's the top receiver coming back?
But that's Nico why I went Collins. To Addison, because Addison not only brings to the table a lot of the same skill set, but he has a bigger body.
I'd be fine with Addison. It'd be Addison or Jaxon for me.
There you go.
We have our winner for Frankie's Friday Fire.
We do see if we agree on it.
Ooh, you
don't get to pick the winner. B-Mac and I also have a vote in this.
Okay.
Who are you nominating?
7010 on the text line.
All right. I'm nominating 3780 on the text.
Okay, what does yours say?
Interesting that the one thing you can nitpick Bryce Young about, you can't improve, while the shortcomings of Stroud or Levis can be coached.
Okay, that's good.
I like that.
I did. We were talking about the who's public enemy number one. I went with 7010. He said that little bitch Joe Kelly.
Good.
That feels pretty fire to me.
It's pretty good. I like it. And you're right.
I think we have two good choices.
Unlike
here.
Mine, that brings a little bit more oomph.
If Joel got the win for Who Said It, I think Joe's getting the win here for this one.
Yeah.
I think making fun of Joe Kelly is the fire.
I earned a win by being good at the game.
That's just the...
He wins the vote to get the nominee he selected.
Thanks.
So we'll go with that. So,
appreciate it.
We can call that person after the show.
Yes.
I think that our assistant director to the regional manager will be the guy that will call.
Just make my just make
congratulations.
My title
you win Frankie's Friday Fire. You're gonna love the food.
7-0-1-0. You are the winner. All right, I have an off topic thing. I have a question.
Bring it.
Are you guys familiar with ghost kitchens?
No.
Ghost kitchens. What is that?
So ghost kitchens are like this new thing that's going on with like an Uber Eats or DoorDash, where they're fake restaurants. They're not real. They're basically made up menus at other restaurants, but they give them a different name. What happened last night? I ordered this quesadilla from this place last night.
Okay.
I got my food. Mm-hmm. I got a drink with it. The drink was from IHOP. This restaurant is posing as like this quesadilla restaurant on Uber Eats.
Is there an address?
No.
There's no physical address on the...
No.
How'd you find it?
It's just on Uber Eats. Like, it just, like, pop up close okay. to you. Like, there's, like, you know, like, I don't know how many people know him. This Mr. Beast guy or whatever.
No.
He's, like, super famous on YouTube. He has this thing called Beast Burgers. They use ghost kitchens where they just...
Big foodie, huh?
They operate out of actual restaurants. Part of my take from Barstool Sports is doing this. They have these Philly cheesesteaks, this part of my cheesesteak business, that they operate out of normal restaurants. These restaurants make their cheesesteaks. They sell them like they're their own business.
Hmm.
So I get the food, and I'm like, I seriously just bought quesadillas from IHOP.
Were they good?
No.
So, okay, were they good because they didn't taste good, or were they good because you had a preconceived notion that it now wasn't going to be good because it came from IHOP?
Both. I think it's both. Like, I literally...
Because I'm a quesadilla connoisseur.
I am too, and that's why I was like, I get the drink, I'm holding it, I'm like, I just ordered food from an IHOP. Like, this is not what I intended on doing tonight. If I wanted food from IHOP, I would have got pancakes.
Did you blast them on a comment review?
No, I don't. I'm not that person.
You're not? Okay.
No, I'm not the...
Yeah, that's dirty, though. That's dirty pool.
Yeah, I'm not that guy.
Now, we like yesterday at Frankie's Italian Kitchen, I don't know if you're familiar with it, they do Frankie's Friday Fire.
Mm-hmm. We just picked a winner.
Chris, the owner, who's also the chef, he brought out buffalo shrimp.
Mm.
And he goes, they're not on our actual menu, but... Tell them that Joel sent you on the underground menu, and you can get them.
See, that could be, they could be, are they a ghost kitchen?
So I don't know if that's considered a ghost kitchen, or what did McDonald's do when they had the off the menu?
Yeah, but they promoted it. I mean, yeah. Eventually I don't know if that'd be really the same thing.
Well, but no, wait a minute. Eventually they did because the secret got out, but like, for In-N-Out's a while.
In-N-Out's always had that thing for years where you could order off the menu.
Starbucks has that.
Do they?
Yeah.
I think a lot of restaurants have where you can order off the menu.
Until
but
it got really overly publicized by McDonald's. They held true to that for a while.
I'm still disappointed McDonald's hasn't
that.
Brought the snack wrap back.
Really?
What the hell is a snack wrap?
It's like a quesadilla wrap.
It's like a chicken Caesar burrito.
Yeah.
They were good.
I'm not a quesadilla. I'm sorry. It's like a tortilla wrap.
Yeah. So, okay, it's a tortilla
chicken
wrap.
Chicken sandwich.
Yeah, it's chicken wrap. They were good. Pandemic casualty.
What I found out in a quick...
You're so basic, Joe.
Well, yeah, your palate is just basic and fast.
Oh, look, look, there was plenty of times in my life where, like, I would describe as myself as a, you know, I get coffee, basic white girl. I get an ice.
So box. Essentially, you have just, I for get the rest of our existence...
I get an ice...
Wait till Branham gets back and figures out that you are...
I get an ice white
a basic white girl.
I get an ice white chocolate mocha with an extra shot of espresso.
That's not basic. That's foo-foo.
What, same thing. No, that's what I would say. It's basic.
I think you're a River Oaks.
I drink that or I drink black coffee. Like, it's like I go one of two directions.
No, you're a River Oaks basic girl, is what you are.
Whatever. It's just how I live.
Like, don't totally. Judge. Whatever.
Sounds like a trust fund, baby.
Yeah, that, seriously. Yeah,
I wish I was.
I stir that baby. Coffee with a silver spoon.
Right, I'm going to just end the show early at this point. You're the devil.
You can't really do that. I wouldn't send it to break.
I'll just leave like he did. I'll just quit on a
I won.
Doesn't matter.
I sent the ultimate message.
He didn't quit. He took a victory lap.
That's yeah, right.
I still had to do a tease, and you just left me.
Yeah, you had to do the tease. Joel didn't have to.
I did what I had to do.
Yeah.
I won the game, and I walked
Joel's
out.
Joel's mission was to win. He won.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. When I took this job like a month and a half ago,
yeah.
I was not prepared to be the punching bag that I've become so quickly.
I never punch you.
Physically.
Dude, you literally, we did a video today.
Today, because you're now in that chair.
And you, like, put your hand next to my head about how short I am.
Today, because you're in that chair.
You literally have been egging me on about
things
or ripping
temporarily
on me
have changed.
For leaving early.
No, that's your boy's deal.
You do it too.
No, I jump on board after Branham basically runs you over with a
so
bus
twice.
So
you're a follower, not a leader.
Sometimes. What that's what the two chairs supposed to do sometimes.
Follower.
Yeah. I don't. Right. I don't set the table. I eat.
Jeremy Brandon will be back on Monday.
You sure?
Hopefully, the Cougs are still the number one team in the country.
Go Cougs.
Teams are not holding on to that spot very well. So
go Cougs.
We'll see. Go Cougs.
Where do they play?
The Fertitta Center.
No, where do they play this weekend?
I have no idea, to be honest.
Go Cougs?
Go Cougs.
Okay. Who's coming up next?
The Wheelhouse.
What time are they on?
3 to 7. Cody Stutes, Jake Asman, Brad Kelly.
What are they going to talk about?
That's your job.
Football.
The Wheelhouse is next. We are the Killer Bees. I will be back tomorrow with the bullpen from 12 to 2 here on ESPN 97.5.
Don't be as bad tomorrow.
What are you talking about? This show's over. Goodbye.